Good morning and welcome to our roundtable on the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 19th of March. I know we all celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but just for the record, today is St. Joseph's
it
Day.
Is indeed. Good for you.
I want to make that subtle point. We don't have the parades and all the hoo-ha, however. Joining me, we have a very cool show today for our roundtable. On the roundtable, we're going to talk about the state of journalism, and we have an incredible panel. They're not all here yet, but when they get here, I assume and I assure you it will be an incredible panel. All of this comes on a day when the Times Union has unveiled a new look and a new press. The largest newspaper in the Albany region, and we're going to talk about the state of journalism on the roundtable. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Big Joe.
And Mike Spain, who is the TU's associate editor, joins us, and soon to be joining us is the publisher of the paper, George Hurst, as well as the editor of the newspaper, Rex Smith.
So they're on their way, I promise.
Yes, you saw them leave, so we know they're en route. So let us begin, Mike, and this is probably a fine way to start the conversation of, by the way, a beautiful newspaper.
Thank you. It's
out today. It's very spiffy, very clean.
It's bright, it's clean, it's colorful. It's the same content we've been giving you all along, but we're presenting it in a more organized way, and we're really proud of it.
So we'll talk to Rex and to George about the press and why they did this and all of that, the discussions as to the ins and the outs. For you as associate editor, when it comes to the news, how does it change things? Are there opportunities that you have now that you did not have before?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we were using a sort of an out-of-date technology to produce the newspaper, a letterpress, I think we're the last daily newspaper in North America to have such a contraption. It's been a great one, but it doesn't have the capacity to deliver high quality photographs and graphics. You can now, because of the improvement in the reproduction, illustrate maps and illustrate stories with graphics that, you know, show variations. You know how the New York Times always runs those great maps after Election Day showing how every precinct did? We were never able to do that, really,
right,
because we couldn't show a variance in color or in shades. And now we have, we can make it easy to read. We can make, we can use what is a new practice in newspapers and in print journalism, and that is a infographic. It's an alternate story format where you use photos with data and maybe a couple of paragraphs of copy rather than a whole story. It can tell you in a glance, and we use one of those on top of our business page today to talk about apple production in New York State. And we'll use one of those every day. Sometimes they'll be focused on New York State or on the Capital Region. Sometimes they'll be national data. But we can tell these stories. We have a full-color weather map that can kind of give you trends across the country and a lot more data squeezed in because it's very readable now and it's easy to read the fine print.
The funnies are in color.
I'm just going to say the funnies are in color.
Except for Peanuts and
do you know, I want to tell you something. When you launch a press, there are a lot of little things that you have to fix that will fix the next day. And we have Peanuts in color, and we have Family Circus in color, and we have Ziggy in color. And they will be in color tomorrow. Or I'm in big trouble.
Amazing. I thought that the perspective section, the opinion section, was very different in terms of layout.
Yes. I mean, traditionally, perspective has been a Sunday section for decades in the Times Union, where now it is a daily section, a separate section. And, you know, I'm going to defer to Rex to speak about that because he's particularly proud of that as head of the editorial board. And he pushed for that. It's an opportunity to make the voice of the newspaper have a prominent place. It's not buried inside another section. It's out there in front. It's got color. It's got life to it. And so we're kind of like shouting our opinion a little more now.
Let me just point to two things that struck me. Well, three things about the paper that struck me. One, of course, is its size. And we can talk a little bit more about that later, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's 10 inches across?
It is 10 by 20, just about. Yeah, minor differences, but about 10 inches wide by 20 inches deep, as we say.
But I guess that is helps you in keeping costs down, but also in addition to that, it makes it easier to read.
We have heard that from so many people. It is easier to handle. It's a much more readable size. A lot of people say it fits on the kitchen table better in the morning. You know.
Oh well, yeah. I noticed that on the butcher blog this morning. Absolutely.
What about fish?
It'll wrap a good size fish still,
but not as big.
You may need two pages.
How big a fish you talking about?
I'm talking about, you know, a major tuna.
He always goes for the big fish.
You know, if you open up the center spread, that'll be 20 by 20. That'll cover most fish, I think. But seriously, it's a great size. It's a handy size. And it does come in a little bit and makes it a little bit less newsprint. And that does save a little bit of money, you know, margin.
Yeah. Our roundtable on the roundtable is talking about the state of journalism today. Also, the Times Union unveiling a new look with a new press. We're going to talk to the editor and the publisher. They have both arrived. We will talk to George Hurst and Rex Smith and continue our conversation with Mike Spain and, of course, Alan Chartok. We welcome your participation as well. You can join us by emailing us at roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or by tweeting us at WAMC Roundtable. It's all coming up next after this short break. Welcome back to the Roundtable on the Roundtable, a very special edition this morning as we talk about the state of journalism, and we talk about it on a day where the region's largest daily newspaper, the Albany Times Union, has unveiled a new look. They have a new press, and joining us on our panel, of course, Alan is here. We've been talking to the Times Union's associate editor, Mike Spain, editor Rex Smith, and publisher George Hurst join us now on the conversation. And it's a delight to welcome you both to the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Great to be here. Absolutely.
It's been, I would assume, been quite a morning. You've been leading up to this for years, so to finally have it here has to be exciting.
Very exciting. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's a very short night. We got to bed about 3:30 this morning, so we're pleased to be with you today.
Yeah, we were there when the press was rolling. George punched the button at 1 a.m. to roll off the edition, the late edition of the paper. That was cool.
Did you see Humphrey Bogart's face as you were doing that? You know,
roll him.
You have a very nice letter on the front page of the paper, George, about just telling readers what's been going on. KBA Commander CL Press.
Right.
At what point did you decide that was something that this paper needed, that this region needed?
It was probably October of 11. We had a competitive field of press vendors. We had Heidelberg, we had Mann Rowland, another German company, as well as KBA. What we were trying to do is find the best fit for our solution within the building footprint. So we're not expanding any of the perimeter walls, which drove a lot of the cost out of this project, made it much more rational in the current context of our economy and made the business case more effectively. So along the way, through our negotiations, pitting vendor against vendor, we ultimately were introduced to the KBA Commander CL that was introduced out at IFRA in Austria, which is an international conference on printing and printing quality. And so when they brought that forward, they took what was an established platform known as the Calora, which is a semi-commercial printing platform in the daily newspaper application. And they took the best of the automation in a commercial machine known as the Commander CT, much more expensive machine, a larger machine that we had looked at, but we found that it couldn't satisfy our needs within the building footprint. So we needed to have a smaller profile press, and so this was the next generation. They took the best of the automation out of the commercial CT machine, put it in the best newspaper press, and made the Commander CL.
So how did you get the boat out of the basement, the new boat into the basement, and then do it so that you didn't lose a day?
Well, it was a very complex set of relationships between operations and development and ongoing business. And so what we had done is we had taken the newsprint warehouse that had been repurposed for an insert operation. This is the Sunday high-capacity inserts that come in your Sunday paper.
Mm-hmm.
And we took that machine, removed it from the newsprint warehouse, and then we figured out a way to put the press in. And the only compromise we had to make in the configuration is that typically you have reel stands that are underneath the printing units. In this case, we didn't have the ceiling clearance because this was the warehouse, not a press hall. And what we were able to do is to put the reel stands, those devices that deliver the newsprint into the printing units, we were able to put those on the same grade as the printing units, right down on the floor of the room at a right angle. So what we do is we drive the newsprint at a right angle or 90 degrees to the printing units. We turn them in these turning bars that are in these pits beneath the units, and then we drive the straight web up through the towers themselves where they come out in process color on every page.
Now, a few people may not know what newsprint is. It sounds like something you print the newspaper with. No, it's what you print it on.
That's correct.
So I think some people don't.
It's the most amazing thing to look at. If you've ever seen a newspaper press, this looks like nothing else because of exactly what George is talking about, the reel stands being beside it. And the most when I saw that thing going on, you know, there are misters up in the air to keep the humidity in the room. Mm-hmm. There is a conveyor belt, in effect, that carries the newspapers beyond the press into the what's called the mailroom where the inserters go. And I thought of nothing so much as Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Mm-hmm. It's one of those sort of mechanical, wondrous situations. It's just fabulous to look at.
Now, from what I heard, I mean, this has been, it's what, 4.5 stories or whatever it is, and over 1 million pounds? And
The overall configured press weighs about 1,300,000 pounds. It has four different levels to it. It's about 30 feet vertical, and it's about 110 feet long. So it's a behemoth of a piece of equipment, and it sits on a foundation of equal weight. We excavated down about 7 feet, poured about 5 feet of concrete with steel reinforcing bar, rebar. It's the largest rebar they manufacture. It's 1 1/8 inches. And Turner Construction, who was the general contractor on the project, made the proclamation that this was the most complex, not the largest, but the most complex concrete pour that they've ever worked on. And so it speaks volume. It had to be plus or minus 0.003 micrometers of a level over 100 different locations.
I told you it was that many micrometers, and you didn't listen to me. I told you.
You were absolutely right, and I just want to make sure that Jimmy Hoffa will never be found.
That was a clean pour.
I guess in one of your earlier this year, you wrote an article about the new press and that it was coming and the date and so forth. But there was this image that in the article of all of these trucks coming up the Northway to deliver this monster. And it was
about 35 semi trucks.
That was lucky. That was after the press got lost in the Atlantic during the storm. The ships were literally coming across the ocean from Germany when Superstorm Sandy came along.
Yeah, what's really amazing, I've been to the main campus of KBA in Würzburg, Germany. They also have a satellite facility in Frankenthal where they build the folders for the press.
Yeah.
That's the finishing end of the press. And they have a foundry right on their site in Würzburg. So we were over there watching them pour the steel in molten form into these forms that were then left outside to cure for about 3 or 4 months. They get all rusty and discolored, and then they start to bring them into the factory, and they start machining them and bringing them to their ultimate pristine self. To look at this metal, to look at the machine, is just impressive. It's as finely machined iron as you can imagine.
Do you speak German, George?
Guten Tag.
There you had it.
So but to Rex's,
that was very good.
To Rex's point, our press was fully assembled. It was operated. They didn't pull paper through it, but they run all the electronics. Then they disassemble and they pack it in crates, containerize it, put it on vessels. They ship it from Europe, the old world, over to the new world. It arrived on, a total of five ships. And the first ship got caught up in Superstorm Sandy. And so we had to divert the ship up to Nova Scotia, where it held in a queue for a couple days, was brought down to New York Harbor, and the harbor wasn't in full force and effect, so they held the ship outside the harbor, brought it into New Jersey. New Jersey had been compromised, so we had to wait a couple more days. So we lost 2 weeks on the project. And if you look at the timeline of signed contract to go live, this is about as rapidly deployed and finished project you'll find in installing a press of this nature.
So George, getting down to the absolute basic, how much?
we're a private company. We don't really talk about
I've heard
the
this
numbers.
From Rex before.
All right. So I'm a little less private than Rex is, I guess.
So well, his name is on the company.
Yeah.
In the, you get to be as public as you like.
Yeah. In the original press release of our 2008 approved capital for Albany, we had an approval for $55.3 million. And so I just summarized by saying it was about a third of that in our newly resized scope.
And that's
because before the recession, we had a bigger project in mind. And when the recession came along, George actually went back to the drawing boards with our operations director, Dan Cotto, and they came up with this notion of putting it into the existing space, which significantly reduced the cost.
Now you guys have done an amazing thing here. And I tell you, I really want to compliment you for going against the tide. You have done something that newspapers are not generally doing right now. You've really made a major investment. And I always appreciate when somebody does something new and they get the kudos that they deserve for it. Have you taken any incoming on your concept here? I mean, the concept is, you know, to build this beautiful thing. They will come. Other people will use your facility, right? And that's the way that this thing is going to pay for itself. So the question I would have for you is, has anybody said, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing?
I think it raised some eyebrows when we announced the new press. This is a press that we contracted for in December of 2011. It was going to come online 2013, first quarter. And, you know, you look at it in the context of the secular changes affecting media, fragmentation, digital platforms. Well, keep in mind, the Times Union has kind of earned the right to make a bold decision, such as putting a press in 2013. We were one of the earliest adopters in digital within the newspaper context. So we came out in the early 90s with our electric Times Union. And then it was kind of morphed into a community portal. And then it was kind of brought along up to TimesUnion.com. Well, TimesUnion.com is the number one leading digital platform in this market.
Sure.
It does about 42 million page views a month. So that's about 1.5 million page views a day, maybe, you know, 180,000 uniques.
Is the fact that you're Hearst help make a decision of this kind? I mean, here you are. You're a very bright man. That's obvious to everybody, and all of the rest. But is the fact that, you know, we have our own Hearst here running this thing, does that make it an easier lift to get something like this done?
No, absolutely not.
We would have had the press 15 years ago if it were easy.
No, listen, general management in New York don't look at that and make decisions based on, you know, whose gene pool is sitting in which seat. It just doesn't happen. I do sit on the corporate board. I'm a trustee of the Hearst Family Trust. So, you know, I have a view as to how we come to decisions. But every decision we make, there's a business case for it, and it's well supported and well understood. And so when ultimately the corporate board sits on the quarterly meetings and has their capital review. Those capitals have been vetted all the way up through the organization, from the unit to the group head to the financial liaisons, both in the group line of business and at the corporate level. So, no, it probably doesn't hurt. I've been a strong advocate for this press for, about two decades, off and on. And let me just say, a lot of what's been written about this had me slogging away day and night over a 20-year period. That hasn't been the case. We've had a lot of competing priorities.
We put out a newspaper every day.
That's correct.
When will we know if it pays for itself?
This press will pay for itself just on the cost savings alone. So when you ask the question, do you have an ounce of sobriety here to go out and buy a press in 2013 when you're going against all the trend lines? Well, the reality is that the letterpress that we've been running for the last 44 years was really the most expensive printing process on a cost per impression per thousand. So those are metrics that we look at. Kind of key performance indicators on how we measure the effectiveness of the expense, and it was the very costly, very consumable heavy configured press that we could rationalize going to a contemporary process and save a couple million bucks a year.
I want to talk about that contemporary process and continue our conversation in just a moment. We're going to take a short break. We're talking about the Times Union. They have a new look. They have a new press. We're talking about the state of print journalism. We have a wonderful panel. Of course, Alan's here. Also joining us, George Hurst, Rex Smith, Mike Spain. We'll continue our conversation after this short break. It's the Roundtable on the Roundtable. You can join us by emailing us at roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or by tweeting us at WAMC Roundtable, and we would love to hear from you. We have a wonderful panel. Alan joins us, of course. We also welcome George Hurst, the publisher of the Times Union. Rex Smith is the editor of the newspaper. Mike Smith is the TU's associate editor.
Mike Spain,
I apologize. Yeah. Mike Spain.
You just made me Rex's brother.
And a jockey. It's a great pleasure to have you all with us. Thank you very much. Right before the break, we were talking about the finances, talking about this as a business decision, and you were talking about the 44 years that the old press had run. In making this decision, the alternative would have been what?
Making the decision to go to a new press gives us continuity in providing the Capital District with a solid print channel. The option was to continue to pour more money into the letterpress. There are no new parts for the letterpress, either on the mechanical side or on the electronic side. And those elements of the press were beginning to fail. We were also down to a single source plate supplier. The printing plates that get mounted onto the plate cylinders in these presses are very expensive. And we go through a lot of these plates. So the single source plate supplier, which is built on a fault line in San Marcos, California, which was a machine they only fired up when we ordered plates, they had us over a barrel. They were extorting us to the degree. We were up to about $7 a plate. Contemporary offset plates are right around $1 a piece. So there was enormous leverage of going to a better process that required less costly consumables.
Is that decision what forces many newspapers to say, okay, it's this or we have to shut off and go out of town?
Typically not. Most newspapers have made investments along the way. They've evolved their manufacturing platform. They adopted a process called offset. We're letterpress that we've just turned off. Mm-hmm. You can't really find the leverage to get to a contemporary platform all new if you're already in a offset environment. So you take the worst case scenario, and this was the oldest printing process running on the planet today, and it was in little old Albany, New York, where we were able to make a huge jump in technology and accrue all the benefits of moving off of that old platform.
So you skipped the generation.
At maybe two.
The alternative you can see pretty clearly in a couple of places. In Cincinnati, Ohio, a Gannett paper has decided to print their paper 100 miles away in Columbus, where another paper has adopted a new printing process. They've adapted their press to create what we call a three-around, where they're actually, they've shrunk the page to make the entire paper a tabloid size. And so Cincinnati has given up on printing its own paper, and they're contracting it out. So there is that option. And there are other visions also. You look at Syracuse, for example, where a fine newspaper, the Post Standard, owned by the Newhouse family, has decided that they will deliver the paper only 3 days a week. And there's a small paper that goes the other 4 days a week, but fundamentally they're trying to wean people off print and say we're going to be a digital company and print also.
So philosophically, there's an issue here, right? That you guys are counting on newspapers being around for a while indeed, while they're going in another direction.
Yes, and we believe that as George would say, there's a business purpose, a business case to be made for this also, and that is that while their readers are shifting in number to digital, the economics of it suggest that we need to keep print vital. It's literally dollars to dimes, the revenue that comes from print advertising compared to digital. So if you can keep your print channel alive, that's really better for the company, we think. And you don't want to get people out of that habit, the daily print habit. That's a nice habit to have, we think.
You have seen a decline in circulation, that's safe to say, right?
Print circulation.
Print circulation. Will this improve that in any way, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have every reason to believe that the new, exciting, repackaged, redesigned, full-color, crisp reproduction in photos and text will clearly take us up probably in the mid-teens, in the early days. We're going to be promoting heavily. We've got a campaign, Live Smarter. We'll commence literally today and carry for probably as many as 24 months. So with that, you're going to get a natural lift. There's going to be a lot of start pressure, and we're selling seven-day subscriptions, Thursday, Sundays. We're bundling this stuff up in a way that will make you an offer that I think you find quite attractive.
Now, what about age? As we know that both public radio and newspaper readers are getting older, will this change that?
It's not as bad as network television, by the way. If you're the executive producer of the CBS Evening News, you're reaching a much older audience than the Times Union.
So. Okay, so will this potentially reverse?
Sure. I think it has the potential for doing that. I think what Rex and his team will be able to do with design and content and how we really start to speak to the issues affecting the lives of all citizens of the Capital District, including young people. So, for instance, we're thinking about this NCAA position that UAlbany has found itself in through a lot of hard work and good athleticism. You've got the men and the women, going to the big dance, right? So we're going to have an opportunity to get our photographers into Philadelphia, and where are the women?
Delaware.
Delaware. So that's a quick drive. We'll get our talent down there, get some great shots. We'll bring those papers back, filled with color, filled with action, go right out of these college campuses and start to communicate with these young people.
And hopefully they'll start to win, in which case you'll be around.
You have to travel more. Yeah, that's all right.
Well, Thursday, our preview section will be in the paper, and that will really, it'll knock your socks off.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, that'll really look good. It's going to appeal to all age groups.
Before you two arrived, Mike Allen and I were having a very nice conversation, but we were talking about some of the things that are different about the paper. And one of the things I wanted to make two points. One was the photo essay series, which is in the A section, which is absolutely beautiful. And this is obviously something that you couldn't have done.
No,
before.
We wouldn't be able to have produced a good-looking photograph at that scale. This is a two-page spread with a huge photograph that bleeds across the double truck photographs by Skip Dickstein of a barbershop in Albany, kicking off a photo essay series that we call With These Hands at Work. Something like that. Anyway, we're looking at micro businesses, at small businesses that are 1 to 5 employees. And in the weeks ahead, we'll be looking at a tailor, a shoemaker, a farrier, people who are themselves craftsmen, and we think it lends itself to great photography, good visual storytelling that we couldn't have done in the old press.
It's really unbelievable.
There's also in the Capital Region section, it was the first thing I noticed actually when you look for a difference is a picture of the tulip bulb coming through the the dirt.
We would never have been able to pull that off. And, you know, our photographers have been turning in great photos for decades, but we would look at a photo like that in the past and we would say, oh, that's a really beautiful photo. It'll look great on the web. Not in the paper. and you can see the little red tip on that tulip.
And the furrowed
spring,
ground, right? And it's beautiful. And the fact that it was a picture that was taken yesterday, which is really very, very
cool. Would have thought that mud in a bud would look so great.
other than in a Dr. Seuss book.
So what about the future of journalism? I mean, are you guys cutting edge here, and you think this is going to go in a bring people in a different direction?
You saw the Pew study yesterday.
I have it right here in my hands.
And it included the fact that Sunday circulation is actually up, and daily circulation at newspapers has leveled off. You know, we see a bright future as a print component of a multimedia operation, which we really have become.
There was a quote in this survey ultimately that came from ABC News President David Weston, former ABC News President, who said there are many more places that people can go for news or information now. The question is whether consumers are leaving prominent news organizations because they're not getting what they want, or whether these outlets can no longer afford to give them more because consumers are leaving. And you seem to be addressing the second part of that.
We think that we need to give people what they need, and that if we give them enough of what they want, they'll also get what they need. I hate to make it sound that way, but it's the ice cream and spinach notion. We need to give people the good investigative and watchdog reporting that is essential to citizenship. With that, we package it with the entertainment, the great visuals, the fun stuff that really becomes a part of our product, the health and living and the lifestyle of the Capital Region. You put that package together, and we think it's a compelling package of journalism of all sorts. But fundamental to what we do, and this is pretty important for us in terms of our mission, fundamental is the kind of enterprise, watchdog, and investigative reporting that nobody else really does in a community if a good daily newspaper isn't doing it. We think that there's a place for that going forward, and we have to be financially healthy to sustain that journalism. So you have to have a solid business case. You have to be able to reduce your cost of production by having contemporary technology like this in order to sustain that journalism.
But there are fewer people doing it, right?
Fewer people doing that kind of journalism.
Newsroom. That's right. In other words, every newspaper has had to downsize.
Yeah, yes.
The study has said that since 2000, newsrooms are about 30% smaller. And that does take an impact. But, you know, putting money into old plates to keep an old battle axe press running is wasteful. You know, streamlining so that you can put the capital into the product of the journalism we're producing is the direction we're going. So,
and I think it's important to note that we're not only working harder, we're working a whole lot smarter. We've got the technology that we're deploying, you know, across our media channels that Rex's folks are quite skilled at using in a daily routine. And so everybody's in multimedia. You know, Alan, I'd like to go back to something you had identified, which was a gap between what we're doing here locally and actually within Hearst Newspapers and that of the rest of many of the industry. And that is that, you know, are you gonna go big or go home? And we're deciding to go big. You take Newhouse Newspaper Group, for instance, electing to go thrice weekly. So they kicked off in the Times-Picayune down in New Orleans and moved across the country and picked up Syracuse and Harrisburg and probably ultimately get, Cleveland and Staten Island and the rest of them. But the philosophy that we have embraced early on was to understand that the fragmentation, the secular change that is bombarding our business model, needed to be embraced. And so what we ended up doing was becoming an early adopter to digital platforms and to a diversification strategy of revenues that kind of feed the beast. You know, remember, no margin, no mission is what we like to say. And in fact, the Times Union today is a multimedia information services company that has a strong digital media agency capability. We're supporting over 1,000 businesses throughout the Capital District in running their own digital strategies. So we're making the proper investments along the way, and we have evolved the business model. So we've made this sometimes tough, but the smart decisions to keep focused on the mission, on how we underwrite the cost of that. Other newspaper groups failed to make the right decisions. And the option to evolution is revolution. And so what you see plan out in newspapers across the country, whether it be newspaper groups that got too highly leveraged and made too much, they maintained too much debt, and the business model of a newspaper couldn't service that enormous debt, or they failed in the business model to make the right decisions to evolve their processes and their channels to getting to something more contemporary. So the Times Union has been a first-class case of evolution as opposed to revolution. We do have many revolutions, but some total of those look like evolution. So we think we're making the right decision.
We're back to the Dr. Seuss thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to talk about spinach and ice cream.
And buds and buds.
But George, one question I had, and that is you're going very quickly, and it's tough for me, you know, to keep up as Rex
knows.
And
he's got a PhD, yeah, too, and, you know, so you know you got a smart guy here.
So my question is, when you say you support the digital platform of businesses, what does that mean?
Well, we had a directory yellow page business. It was called the Talking Phone Book here locally, originally White Directory out of Buffalo, New York. And if there was a business model more challenged than a daily newspaper, it was a directory yellow page business. And so as the attrition out of the yellow pages began and continued to accelerate, we needed to either find our way to divest of that business that we had invested in the years earlier, or find a way to make them profitable. So we started sourcing our ability to provide digital solutions that blended and bundled with a print solution and ultimately went full digital in these phone books.
So nobody needs the phone book because you all look it up on your handheld.
That's right. That was the general drift. And we then took that model and said, well, if it works for directory businesses, why can't it work for newspapers? And so we came out with a very strategic commitment to digital marketing services, selling search engine optimization, search engine marketing, reputation management, Google search, Yahoo search, and Bing, and other search engines bundled into a grouping of online offerings that included website creation, providing linkages through landing pages to TimesUnion.com that would drive your business model on your own digital platform much more rapidly to success than you could on your own.
Somebody whispered in my ear that you guys were going to set up a PR agency at the Times Union. I don't know.
Well, that's an interesting idea.
Tell me that.
Yeah. Huh. I've never
novel.
Heard that.
Novel notion.
Now, does that create conflict of interest situations if it's true?
No. It's pretty clear that the church and state relationship in our business is well respected, well adhered to. We have a business operation. We actually did have an agency within the Times Union years ago. Mm. We abandoned that because it wasn't seen as the highest priority, and we had to redeploy some resources that were allocated in that direction. But fundamentally, I think we're kind of moving back. One of our leading newspaper groups today out of Houston, Texas, the Chronicle, has got an agency that they've created inside.
And so for the rest of us, the agency meaning a PR agency. So if you come to your PR agency, would you expect that you're going to get better treatment at the Times Union than if you go to a regular agency that doesn't own the Times Union newspaper?
You mean better treatment by
way
of our newsroom?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Now, that wouldn't be the case.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And talk about the commercial aspect, the commercial print aspect of this.
Well, the commercial printing has an opportunity to drive, again, diversified revenues back into the business model. We have taken and compressed time significantly. I maybe indicated that our average web up time, and that's running newsprint through the press from the reel stands to the folder, on any average night took about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. The new press can run all the webs coincidentally up through the iron and to the top of former, where it goes down into the folding mechanism where the ribbons are cut into newspapers. We can do that in 38 seconds now.
So as opposed to what did you say?
An hour and 15 minutes, wow. Yeah. So what that does, and the press itself runs at more than twice the speed of the press we just shut down. And so when you take the speed and the make-ready time for each individual run, you've taken and compressed time to such a degree that I can fit multiple daily titles into an average nightly production run. Mm. So I can probably fit five dailies into our production.
Is there any indication that people are coming? You know, you build a field, they'll come. Is there any indication already now that you've put this thing in that newspapers will be saying, hey, you can do it better, you can do it cheaper, you can do it more color, and therefore we're going to come to you?
Yes.
Yeah. We're not ready to announce it.
We're under a non-disclosure agreement with all of our potential strategic partners going forward. But
from how far away?
50 miles, 60 miles.
Got to pray for no snow, right?
Well, that's no problem. We factor that into our logistics and time sequencing.
They're doing it all the time, all over the country. The Cincinnati, Columbus that I mentioned, that's about 100 miles.
I was thinking about snow there, too. They have it up there also.
Ohio, they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll wrap up our conversation in the roundtable. On the roundtable, we'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to our roundtable. On the roundtable, we've been talking about the state of journalism. We've been talking about the Times Union, their new look, their new press, and we have a wonderful panel here, and we have a lot of folks writing in. I want to get to some of the questions in the very few minutes that we have left. James went to our website and says, for Rex and George, with Variety dropping their online paywall and the Washington Post picking it up, what do you see for the near future of this model for the Times Union and the news industry as a whole? Will traditionally non-print news outlets with a presence on the web, such as TV and radio, put the pressure on for all to ultimately drop the paywall model and rely on advertiser-based revenues?
I don't think that there's any justification for people not paying for the service they use. I think if you want to take have access to the Times Union's journalism, you should pay for it. That said, we don't have a paywall in place right now on the web, and I suspect there will be one of these days, but we do not have a plan in place right now.
Yeah, I think any institution such as the Times Union who's willing to make the investment in curating premium content, it has value, and price points will be established over time. Obviously, the whole wild woolly world of the web is starting to gel, and I think paywalls and metered use of content is becoming more part of the discussion, and there's a lot of different models that are being deployed. I see us over time assigning some price point to our content, again, premium content. If it's a commodity, if it's generic, there's no way that you can justify charging for that. But we'll look at models. We'll try them. We're trying them across the newspaper group today, and our magazine company, and some other lines of business.
I think that Pew report that you cited yesterday found that more than 400 of the 1,300 plus daily newspapers in the country now have implemented some sort of paywall. So mm-hmm. It is moving that direction. Washington Post, New York Times, Boston Globe, they all have implemented some sort of paywall, and they're making money at it.
Mike?
No, I was just going to underscore that the study says that it's part of an overall package between print and online, that paywall has been profitable for a number of publications.
We have 90 seconds, and I have two really, really good questions here. One comes from Matt, who wrote on Facebook, said, "Could you comment on the much smaller size? It's like having a toy newspaper in my hand. Smaller size means less content, right?"
wrong. More pages. Today's paper is 44 pages. Last Tuesday's paper was 32 pages. It's slightly smaller, an inch on each side, an inch 3/4 in the bottom. That's not a toy newspaper. That's a broadsheet. It's the size of the Washington Post. And I think that Matt is exaggerating for impact, and I don't think that that's effective journalism.
All right.
Do you have an opinion on this, Rex?
I like the size.
I have to say I disagree with Matt. I really like it too.
But I also, and then Julie said, as an avid hiker and daily reader of the Times Union online only, I was confused and disheartened to hear that about the investment into a new press and printed content as opposed to expanding the paper's reach via digital means, having hiked throughout the Northeast and elsewhere. I've seen the destruction of that logging brings to our natural areas, and I wonder why hasn't the paper favored digital, i.e. more environmentally friendly content in its investment decisions. 30 seconds, go.
Electricity is produced by nuclear power. So I just would like to point out that I don't think that paper is necessarily environmentally destructive. Actually, good forestry practices do coincide with environmental management, as the Adirondack shows us. So plus, we use high concentration of recycled fiber in our newspaper. So I think it's actually a digitally friendly product, and it is entirely recyclable, unlike your iPhone.
George Hurst, Rex Smith, Mike Spain, thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations on the new look, the new press, and all the good work you're going to be doing. Mike, real quick, tomorrow, what can we look forward to?
Oh, the story about a colonoscopy, but we use the Candyland-style game to explain it, and it's pretty good.
I was about to say, it's not like a full-color spread on a colonoscopy. That would sell papers.
Oh,
all right. Roundtable at WAMC.org if you would like to comment and to write to us. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Alan, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.